Okay, so now we're up to really the kid has asked his questions, and now we have to start giving answers, and we're going to begin. I feel like this group is on a different maturity level than any other year we had, and that's why I'm giving you much more tools as parents, not only as participants of the Seder. If you guys feel we should just do the basic, tell me. No. I feel like many of you are on the verge of marriage or very close to being on the verge of marriage, so I want to give you the tools as parents. How are you going to run the Seder? One of the hardships when you run a Seder is that the text of the Haggadah has to be expanded on. And this is a tricky point, because if you go into all kinds of far-out vorts, you know, here you have this numeric value, that numeric value, you didn't do the mitzvah of telling them the story. That's not the point. On the other hand, if you stick to the text and you don't expand, you also didn't tell them too much of the story. So you have to expand and stay focused. So I try to choose the points I expand on that will focus on the story. The general theme Chazal wanted us to follow in the Seder involves two approaches. One is called Matchil B'Gnut U'Mesayem B'Shevach. You begin with the gnut, with the embarrassment, the embarrassing history we have, U'Mesayem, and you conclude B'Shevach, with the praise over where we've come. And this is divided into two realms, this idea. Either we begin with Avadim Ayinu, we begin recounting how we were slaves, or we begin with Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Yavoteinu. If you move on a few pages, we'll discuss how Abraham's father was a pagan. So the question is, how far back do we go to begin our embarrassing history? We always end with our great redemption, with the praise. Now that's one. The second is what we discussed earlier tonight, Pesach, Matzah, U'Maror, that those are the central themes which we will have to incorporate into the story. Maror, we started out embittered. Matzah, we were taken out swiftly. Pesach, Hashem leaped over our houses as he hit the firstborn Egyptians. Now, I'm going to give it to you on the highest level, and you will have to distill it as you tell your children. Some of the content is not fit for kids. At our Seder, my goal is to bring people to tears. To bring them to tears in appreciation of how bad it was. And obviously with children, you have to be very careful. So I'm not sure I'm going to succeed in doing that tonight. But at the Seder, I usually do. Because if you really understand what happened in Egypt, it's more treacherous than what happened in the Holocaust. Avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. We were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. And we have to understand how difficult this was. Here you had a people who were foreigners. They came into the land. And the Egyptians slowly demonized them. To the point where Egyptians would say, I can't eat at the table. There's a vat there. There's a what? There's a Jew there. Meaning that you can't eat at the same table as him. Ki lo yuchlun ha-mitzrim le'chol ta'ivrim lechem. The Egyptians can't possibly eat next to that vile thing called the Jew. That's Avadim ha'inu l'faro mitzrayim. Paro and the Egyptians worked slowly and systematically to demonize us. To the point where the Egyptians felt comfortable sending their children into Jewish homes to search out the babies. If they could start playing and entice the Jewish children to come out of their hiding places, then the Egyptian children would partake in the mass slaughter of those children. So when we were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt, it was a process. Just as the redemption was a process, so too the enslavement was a process. Avadim hayinu, we were enslaved. That means when the Jews left Egypt, they had a slave's mentality. They didn't know how to deal for themselves. So you had this Pharaoh who was given the whole wealth of Egypt. Remember, Yosef shifted the economy in a way that the Egyptians viewed Pharaoh as owner of all of their land, all of their assets, all of their belongings, including themselves. So that's why we were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, Egypt was famous that no one could escape Egypt. What does the word Mitzrayim mean? It comes from the word Tsar, which means encase or encompass or enclosure, to tighten up on, to close in. The name Mitzrayim even connotes the idea that there were a land that was enclosing on its people. No slave ever left Egypt alive. You had a family, descendants of Yosef, who thought they would make it out alive, and the Egyptians went and killed all of them, and then left their bodies out. They left their carcasses out so that any slave that would try to leave would see those bodies. They wouldn't let them be buried. No slave ever left alive. Now, in Egypt, the slaves looked down at the Jews. Meaning the Egyptians had demonized this to a point where even the slaves looked down at us. We were a caste below slavery. Even the slaves would turn to a Jew and say, "Tie my shoe for me. You're a Jew, you have to serve me too." So Avadim Ayinu, we were the slaves of the slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God took us out of there with a powerful hand, with an outstretched arm. Sometimes a slave runs away in the middle of the night. That's not what happened in Egypt. Hashem brought Egypt to its knees and showed how we were coming out as victors because Hashem was on our side. If God wouldn't have taken us out of Egypt, then for generations we'd still be there. Why? What about the spring? What was it called? Arab Spring. You see, there are turmoils in Egypt. Wouldn't we have gotten out eventually? The answer is no. Because the Jews were at a point where they were losing their identity and they were losing the very few mitzvot that they had, the very few merits that they had. Think of what it means to be in Egypt, a land where adultery is acceptable. Sleeping with animals is acceptable. Lesbians are accepted. Every type of despicable behavior was accepted in Egypt. And here we were among them, and slowly their culture was entering the Jewish people. He had a situation where we were their slaves. You see the story where they'd walk in, kill a Jew, and then have a mass rape of his wife, as we find in the Midrash on the son of Shlomis Bas Divri. So here you are in Egypt, and God sees, wait a second, you give him another day in Egypt, there won't be anyone left to take out. Remember, even when we left, 4 out of 5 were dead. That means that we had 1/5, we had 20% left that were worthy of recognizing, worthy of saying, "I want out." And even they, when they got to the Amsa, said, "Wait a second, what do we do this for?" And for 40 years, they kept looking back and saying, "Who said we should have left?" So you have 1/5 of the people, and these are the best of the crop, and even they keep looking back to Egypt and saying, "How could we do this? We should have never left." Remember what happened with the spies. When things look bad, they say, let's turn back to Egypt. What do we need this for? So this 1/5 that's going to make it out alive out of Egypt, well, they were about to be lost. They were on the brink. And so if Hashem wouldn't have taken us out just then, no one would have been left. We would have lost everyone. Remember, the 10 tribes are lost. They intermarried, they're gone. We have no idea where. We have remnants. We have a little bit of each tribe among us, but the majority are lost. That's what was happening in Egypt. You had a situation where the people were going to be lost spiritually. And even if we're so smart, we're elders, we know we're masters of the Torah, nonetheless, we have a mitzvah tonight to tell over the stories of how we left Egypt. And the more you tell, the more praiseworthy it is. I was shocked when a classmate told me they end the Seder after 1.5 hours. It's like a Shabbos meal. So that means he reads through the Agoda like it's Miros, like Shabbos Miros. 15 minutes later, bring the food to the table. That's terrible. Tonight we're supposed to spend the whole night talking. The meal is the small part of the night. The main focus of the night is telling the kids where we come from. That we're all Jewish. Why are we Jewish? Here's what happened tonight. Let me tell you. Now the Haggadah is going to illustrate. I'm going to fly through it. The Haggadah is going to illustrate how even great sages would spend the whole night talking about how we left Egypt. So Maaseh, we have a story. But Rabbi Eliezer, we know who Rabbi Eliezer Ben Hurkanus is, right? Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, 26 years old, he hasn't learned a word of Torah, and then he becomes the giant of Torah. Rabbi Yoshua Ben Hananiah, we know who he is, right? The great astronomer, the great sage, the great advisor, counsel to the Caesar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, 10 generations from Ezra the scribe, Rabbi Akiva, the descendant of converts of Gerim, he didn't know a word of Torah when he met the daughter of Kabosvot, didn't even know the Pasuk of Shema, and Rabbi Tarfon, who started out very poor, ended up being very wealthy, Shayum Sabim Bivnei Brak. They were all sitting, leaning in Bnei Brak. All night long, they're telling the story. Those of you who were at our Seder know that we never stop. We keep going until we finish our koach. We keep going. Till the students came and said, "Hey, rabbis, time to go daven." So they kept going the whole night. They were so smart, right? But I tell you what I know, and you tell me what you know, and slowly we start talking our midrashim. You keep going the whole night. Now we're taking a small pause in our story to discuss the importance of the Exodus. Because tonight our mitzvah is one night, right? The mitzvah to tell over the story. Yet we have a different mitzvah. Every night and every morning, we remember that we left Egypt, right? It's a separate mitzvah. We're going to mention that. You guys with me? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, it's as though I was 70 years old. He's not, he's 18. But his beard developed white, so he was like he was 70 years old. We're on page 22. And I was never victorious against the rabbis that at the nights, every night in the Kriyat Shema, you should recount the Exodus from Egypt, until Ben Zoma came and taught that the verse says, the verse says, you'll remember the Exodus all the days of your life. The days of your life refers to the days. All the days of your life, the word all teaches us the nights. The sages say, the word kol yumecheyecha is to teach us that even in the days of the Messiah, we're going to look back at this redemption. And this again illustrates the importance that if not for this, we'd be nowhere. There'd be no Jewish people. Okay, we're about to start a song.